qui va se mettre en place, bien sûr. Et on va pouvoir compter sur vous, vous mobiliser, mesdames et messieurs, pour décompter de 10 à 0, pour ensuite libérer cette véritable vague arc-en-ciel. Tous les coureurs qui sont en place, dans 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, c'est parti!
You are listening to Service Course by The Cycling Podcast, powered by Super Sapiens, energy management for committed athletes and coaches.
Hello, welcome to a rather breathless Service Course. I'm Tom Woolley.
And I'm Lizzie Banks. And, well, where are we, Tom?
Well, for the second day running, we are in the Velodrome in Roubaix, awaiting the finish of the Paris-Roubaix men's race this time. We were supposed to be having quite a relaxed day today. Go to the start, speak to a lot of riders, a lot of staff, go to the Arenberg, make it to the finish in good time.
Yeah, we had 2 hours that the riders were going to take to pass between the Arenberg and Roubaix Velodrome, and we had 30 minutes to do it. So no problem. I mean, yesterday we had 35 minutes and the riders had 35k, so it was pretty tight and we still made it. But we had a little bit of a problem. We went through the PPO, which is the official place that you pass if you've got a sticker for the race, in order to get through into the parking, because all the roads are blocked around Roubaix, and they wouldn't let us through. So we had pod car one. I was in pod car one. You were in pod car two.
I swapped cars midway through the day in a race to make the Velodrome.
Yeah, you...
So I lost you in the Arenberg.
You didn't run fast enough through the Arenberg.
Well, I did run fast enough. I just waited too long to start running. That was the problem. but an absolutely breathless chase. I mean, we've done more U-turns than the Tory government over the last... with Gabriel. And I feel so bad. I had to abandon your husband. I had to just get out of the car and run here and ask you to carry my rather heavy bag.
And I, Tom, had to take your bag from pod car one, run to pod car two, direct pod car two about where to park. We couldn't park, so we just left it on the street. Sorry to the person's garage who we parked a little bit in front of, but I think you can get out. And then I ran back here and finally we've made it. And I even got your bag searched and they said, is there any beer in there? And I actually brought you a gift of Jurassian beer, so I had to pull your clothes out and pretend that the beer wasn't in there, and it is, so don't do anything irresponsible with it, Tom.
Well, if Service Course is interrupted by any loud cheers, that's because the race, there is, what, 9k to go? At the moment, as we speak, Mathieu van der Poel is clear. Loads has happened. I can't tell you all about it because this is a Service Course. Listen to a Rive to get the full breakdown and hopefully a friend special from this absolutely breathless, well, two breathless editions of Paris-Roubaix.
Well, we're bringing you Service Course live, really, for the first time, aren't we? So, I mean, we've had a really interesting day in the paddock yesterday and today, looking at the equipment. You know, really up close to the equipment of the different teams, touching the winner's bike yesterday. And, well, we've had some really, really interesting chats, haven't we, Tommy? What were the key things that we were looking at?
The key things, well, a lot of it was about, tyre pressure, well, tyre inflation systems, which, well, Lionel, I spoke to Lionel a minute ago, and Lionel made a joke that Wout van Aert's self-inflating tyres and now self-deflating tyres, which is very Lionel. But so yeah, we've been looking at that. We should probably cross now back to the start and a couple of those conversations we had. We also spoke to John Degenkolb's mechanic, and obviously John Degenkolb has had a fantastic race until a couple of minutes ago when he crashed on the cobbles.
And I didn't see that was when I was running to the Velodrome.
It was very dramatic. He got squeezed between the two Alpecin de Koenig riders. So yeah, so we spoke about his bike. So let's cross now to earlier in the day.
Bonne plaque à tous évidemment, et joyeuse plaque à John Degenkolb qui nous rejoint avec son équipe TSM dans cette formation sur votre droite.
So this is a bike of another former winner when I was here 2015.
Got an Easter egg on the top tube.
Listen, I was talking about Easter. Look at that. That is a nice bit of detail. on the top tube of... it must be Degenkolb's bike, I'm sure. There is an Easter egg on the top tube. It's great.
That's from the kids from John. They painted him an Easter egg for Easter. Yeah.
Oh, that is so sweet. That was it. That his kids just here. Just
yeah,
there.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that is so sweet.
Yes. So a special Easter. I think they also put something on his frame when he won in 2015. So it's kind of a repetitive thing that because it's always close to Easter, the race, that they put something on his.
Oh, it's like a lucky charm.
That's really sweet.
That is really nice.
So we were joking in the car the way up that if I was doing the Musette bag today, I'd put a little Easter egg in there and stuff. These guys all thought I was an idiot. But like, is there anything in there? Any treats in the bags today?
I don't believe so.
I think there is. I think there's something we're not being told. Yeah, on the DSM bikes, there's a little difference. Do you know what that scope is under the stem? There's a couple of the bikes that are running that.
Yeah, that's for the Scope Atmos tyre pressure system.
Ah, is that what that is?
Yeah.
Oh, look, it's there.
And then you can see the buttons. There's two buttons. So underneath the stem, there is we could call it a junction box. It's what looks like an old Di2 junction box. And then either side of the, next to where the computer mount is, but on the bars, there is two buttons, presumably one to go up, one to go down, on the tyre pressure system. Let's see if we can speak to one of the mechanics, the DSM.
So you can see there in the disc, behind the disc on the front, on both wheels, there's a large sort of blue.
Yeah, it almost looks like
canister,
a
sort of thing?
Yeah, it almost looks like a dynamo hub, doesn't it?
Does it fit round the hub or is that the hub?
I don't know.
We need to know, don't we?
See if we can find out. So we're here with the Martin mechanic from Team DSM, and we've got two riders of your team with the adjustable tyre pressure systems on.
Yeah.
So I learned yesterday that you have to have a complete different wheel set. So if you change the wheels out on the road, you're going to have to be having to put another one of these white tyres in, is that right?
If we need to change the wheel, we can just take this one out. There's no wire or hose running from the hub to the frame. So we can just put basically every wheel in that we want to.
Okay.
Only thing is then, of course, with the new wheel, you cannot use the system because the system is integrated in the wheel. So what you take out is...
And how many inflations or deflations do you have in a canister?
It's around 5 or 6 inflations you can do on a parkour like this. And the system works like we put this reservoir on pressure. And then from the reservoir, you can every time inflate the outer tire. So you release some air from the outer tire, and then you can inflate again from the reservoir that's in it.
Gabriel, you noticed something as well, didn't you, about the weight?
Yeah, clearly there's some...
That's a counterweight. You mean this on the rim?
Yeah.
It's a counterweight to balance the wheel, like you also have with cars, for example.
Because of the extra weight of the valve.
Yeah, because otherwise the wheel's not balanced, so we need to add some extra weight. When the system will be developed more and more, of course it will be integrated in the rim.
And have you got a tubeless setup inside that? Obviously you've got the
reservoir. There's no sealant in it.
Okay.
This tire is specially made also for this.
Wow.
And it's closed like this.
And so,
so it's almost like a double tubular tire somehow.
Yeah, there's a reservoir inside.
Yeah.
And the tire itself is that good that it already closes the rim. So,
wow.
It's basically the same like what you have on a car.
Yeah.
In the race today then, so who's going to be riding this system?
We have two riders, Niels Eekhoff and Pavel Bittner.
Right. And I think I understand from yesterday speaking to the women's team mechanics, you only have two sets in the team, is that right?
We have two more sets, but like we did also the recon on these sets, and we want to start with a fresh set also for the race, so we swapped yesterday some sets.
And how did you choose which riders? Was it a case of there were two riders putting their hands up?
I'm also not personally really involved in that process, but I think it's also a bit of they look how... which riders will be in the first part going in breakaway, for example, or maybe a rider volunteers for it. That's also possible.
Interesting. Well, so we can spot who's going to be in the breakaway by which wheel sets they're using.
Yeah.
Right, so watch out. Next year at this race, you've got two riders on it. Do you think we'll see much more of these sorts of systems across the peloton?
You see it now more and more already.
It will happen.
So I can imagine, especially when also things... keep on developing, also like the shifting systems, the group sets of all the suppliers. Yeah, when it starts somewhere, and maybe other teams, yeah, for example, when somebody wins today, yes, you never know, eh?
My final question, is there a sound to it? Because I was wondering, like, I'm thinking about the sound of the peloton potentially changing eventually. Like,
The sound when you inflate it is not as loud.
Right. It's
just like you hear some clicks, click, click, click.
Sure.
But when you deflate, then you really hear like a valve putting air out.
I don't know if you have a cat, but I have two cats. And whenever I deflate my tires, the cats absolutely lose their... And I can just imagine the peloton coming along before Arenberg, psh, and every cat in the whole of the Arenberg area just running a mile. Well, it was interesting to hear from the men's DSM team mechanic there. As you may have heard, this roar from the crowd as Van der Poel very nearly went into one of those yellow and black barriers that are just on the side of Sector 2 as he's solo at the moment. How many seconds has he got? 20? I can't.
27 or
yeah,
so.
Yeah, 27 seconds. So, you don't want something like that. But what was interesting is I also spoke to the women's team mechanic, because I was hoping that we might see some of these tyre pressure monitoring systems in the women's team as well, because both Jumbo-Visma and DSM have been trialling them. But here's what the mechanic and also Francie Koch of the women's team had to say about it. Well, we've seen in the media that the men's team have been trialling the tyre pressure systems over the last year, and I can't see them on any of the women's bikes. So is that something that you've chosen not to use?
Yeah, it is, because we have only two systems that are complete. So we have to do it with these, and we are completely fine with that.
Okay, so is it something that you maybe are trialing and might be wanting to use next year?
Maybe for next year. But for now, they did the recon on these, and they were happy about it. The grip was really good.
Okay.
So for now, this is what it is, and they are really happy with it.
So going back to those systems, which you're not using this year, how can you use them? Is it a button on the handlebars? And do you just have two set pressures and you just press up and down between them?
Yeah, you can. There are buttons on the handlebar to pump it up and also to lose some air. So the buttons are on top, mm-hmm. on top of the handlebar, and there you can press what you want. And I think it was only 6 or 7 times that you can use it.
And have you trialed them at all?
No, we didn't. So that's a bit sad.
I've been told there's only 4 systems available.
Exactly, like that's the biggest issue. They don't have enough. Also, because you need a special spare tire or like spare wheels. So they don't have enough material.
Ah, that is a shame. And I also spoke to Jumbo-Visma, and they only have. I think actually your team has 2 systems and Jumbo-Visma has 4 systems, so there are very few out there,
yeah.
But I thought there'll be more available, but maybe next year.
Yeah, exactly, next year. They're working on it, so it's a process.
Yeah.
The Cycling Podcast is supported by Science in Sport. Science in Sport, fueled by science.
Maybe Paris-Roubaix was one that was just extra hard because of just the terrain, the cobblestones.
This is Magnus Sheffield of Ineos Grenadiers.
And everyone's just trying to make it just to finish the race, just to say that they've done Roubaix and they've actually made it to the Velodrome. And it's just like you see guys falling down one by one. And it's really like a race of last man standing. So that's definitely like one of the darkest or hardest days on the bike so far. Back when I was little, my family would go on hiking trips and my mom would count the distance of the mountain or the trip in gummy bears. So she said, okay, this is a 10 gummy bear hiking trip. I don't do it quite like that, but with a nutritionist, they also tell us, okay, these are the segments, how to fuel. But it would be fun if I looked at the races being 200 gummy bears.
Science in Sport is made for endurance exercise. Whether you're riding a long way in a day or perhaps back-to-back days, you need to be properly fueled. And, well, you need a bit more than gummy bears. Science in Sport has everything for you before the ride, during and after your ride, the all-important recovery, before you're ready to go again the next day. To check out the whole range, go to scienceinsport.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
So, Lizzie, looking at the Scope Atmos this morning, what was interesting is your husband pointed out that it has to have a counterweight attached to the wheel to rebalance the wheel, because it is quite a bulky. I don't want to call it clunky, but it is quite. It's not sleek, is it?
It's not sleek.
It's very, very present, and we learnt there that it has, you know, around 5 inflations and deflations. Which is a very different story to another system being used today.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, there's been these two systems in the news, the Scope Atmos, which DSM nearly used last year, but then backed off right at the last minute. But Jumbo-Visma have been trialling the Grava CAPS system. So we went over to the buses to have a little nosy, and we just happened to bump into the inventor of the Grava CAPS system, and we had just brilliant, long conversation with him about everything, really, about the system, about all about how it started. So I'm not going to delay any longer, because it was such a great conversation that I will just let him take it away. So here you go.
My name is Gert-Jan. It's a typically Dutch name.
And what's your role with the company?
I'm the founder, so I'm one of the inventors and the founder of the company.
Well, we've just been looking at the Scope Atmos that DSM are using, and I have to say that this system looks a lot sleeker, a lot sort of better integrated. One thing that we've noticed that's really interesting is the Scope Atmos had to have a counterweight on the other side of the wheels in order to balance the wheels, to balance the extra weight.
I haven't seen that system at all, to be honest.
Ah, well, have you had any problems with imbalances in the wheel from the extra weight?
No, because it's only a few grams.
Yeah.
There's no need to do that. It's just a normal valve. Eh? You also don't balance a valve.
So, how many of the system will you have in the race today? And who will be riding it?
3. So, Eduardo Affini, Dylan van Baarle will ride it, and Christopher will ride it, Laporte.
And how do the riders operate it? Because I can see on the handlebars just to the right of the computer mount, there's a, you know, device straps to the bars. How do the riders actually operate the system to put the pressure up and down?
Well, it's really simple. You will see the pressure settings on your Garmin.
Yeah.
So they can just see which field they are in. So there are 3 or 4 pressure settings. We've made them up front. So and you can just toggle through this pressure settings. So the left button on the handlebars is down. So to the lower level.
So these buttons here are for the... Yeah. So they're not blip shifters for the gears, shifters for the Grava CAPS system.
Yeah, for the CAPS system.
And is it independent? Can you do the front wheel and the rear wheel independently?
No. So it's a system, so it's a closed system. Yeah. So the front wheel is the master, so it's dominant. And it gives wireless communication to the rear and to the button unit and to your Garmin.
And how many, one of the things we're going to ask about, how many pumps up and down can you do?
It's unlimited.
Unlimited?
You can also do it 100,000 times.
Unlimited?
Yeah, it's unlimited.
It's very different to the other system.
It's very different, yeah. The other system, honestly, if you take into account all the systems that already have been developed in the last 10, 20 years, it's more like in that corner, huh? So it's a pressure vessel, as I understood it right. Yeah, as for example, 20 years ago, we had already Adaptrac. It's an American brand. I think it still exists. Yeah, it's basically the same. It's a pressure vessel, only, as I understood it right, at DSM, it's in the rotating world. Adaptrac has it on the frame, but the principle is the same. And this is a pump unit with a clutch mechanism, and this pump is driven by the wheels. So if you inflate your tires, then the pump goes on, and it consumes between 2.5 and 4 watts. Once you reach the set point, then there's a clutch mechanism and the pump switches off. So this is why it's unlimited. And it takes in air from the atmosphere. So there's a hydrophobic filter between the end or behind the end caps. And it, yeah, it takes in air from the atmosphere and also release air from the to the atmosphere.
So it wouldn't be a problem if it was a super wet Paris-Roubaix, for instance?
No, no. Actually, they tested last Thursday and it was super wet. Nothing happened.
Well, that is very smart. And we were also learning that it's actually a completely closed system, so there's no need for tubeless sealant or anything. Is
there is tubeless sealant in. They are tubeless.
Okay. So can you tell us what the inside of the tyre were to look like if we were to take a knife and cut through it right now?
No, the same as a normal tyre.
Okay.
Very different then. Again, a very different system.
It's just a tyre. These are the Vittoria Pro, Corsa Pro tyres. And we have a special valve on top with a sealant filter. And it separates air from sealant. So it leaves in the sealant in the tyre and it takes out air.
That is fascinating. I was expecting the systems to be so similar, and actually they're really quite different on a number of...
No, actually they had a few punctures last Thursday, but it just could go on. Because if you have it sealed, it can't go on.
So tell us about something. Have you got a cycling background yourself?
A little, just as an amateur. I used to mountain bike a lot.
Okay.
And this is also... did some beach races.
Yeah.
Typically in the Netherlands you have these beach races. And back in 2014... I live in the province Zeeland, so it's at coast, Zeeland, huh? And we have the beach marathon there, and it's like 25 k's over the beach, then 15 k or 13, 14 over the asphalt to the other island, because it's our islands over there, and then back onto the beach again. And at that point, I saw all these people with their CO2 cartridges stopping. I thought this was ridiculous. Why a system to inflate your tire pressure on the go didn't exist? And this is the start of the development.
And what were you doing? What at the time? What were you doing? Are you an inventor? Are you?
No, I was a project leader at a big building company, at the real estate company. So I don't have the background at all. Yeah, technical background, but not in the mechanical world. So more in building structures.
So how did you then go about like creating this system? Do you have to like hire sort of have an idea, then hire people?
I had a high level idea. So, and I formed the basic requirements, so how big it should be, what the capacity should be, how much the power consumption could be, so all these things. So these are maybe like 6 or 8 main requirements. So, and I knew that was possible, so I made some calculations myself. And I went to a big engineering company in the Netherlands back in 2016, which is really one of the biggest in the Netherlands, Demcon. It's a mechatronic development company. And there they were this enthusiastic about the potential of the technology that they started the development feasibility phase. So we had back in 2017 at the end, I had a patent position and we had the feasibility phase of the pump, of the clutch, of the electronics. But it was just on the table, so only that feasibility. But this, together with the patent position, made it able for me to collect a lot of money and also subsidy from the European Union. So we... Back in 2018, we already collected millions, and this made it able to to collect or to build our own engineering team with lab facilities, an own office, own workspace. Yeah, and this is where we are now.
So your life must have changed massively then.
Yeah, right? It is.
Now you're still here. You know, the current champion is on your system.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. But honestly, last 3-4 weeks were a roller coaster for me. So I'm just a happy man if they just started at 10 past 11 and then everything is okay.
Yeah, it's on the bikes and it's about 20 minutes to go to the start. So yeah. I think you're good now. And has this system been used in mountain biking racing as well? Because I can see that there's obviously in road cycling, this is a very different race to what we see most of the year in road cycling.
I think our biggest market is in gravel biking.
Yeah.
The potential is enormous, isn't it?
Yes.
We also received the first orders from OEM orders. From a few well-known gravel bike brands, the biggest brands. So I think that's where the market is for us. Also mountain biking, of course, but then I would use it more for marathons. So for long distance mountain biking, that would be ideal. But if you have a closed loop for 3-4 kilometers,
not enough time.
You don't have enough time. I think it would help to avoid punctures, etc. But for example, for the Cape Epic, it would be ideal.
Yeah.
One last question. I mean, it looks quite simple. It's quite a simple system. You're saying, regular tyres work with it and stuff. So when's it going to come down to people like me?
You can just order it. I don't know if you can afford it, but you can order it.
How much does it cost?
The complete wheel set, is available online because we shoot. Otherwise, they would not allow you to ride. So together with reserve, we have them online available. And the price is almost 4,300 euros.
Well, listen, good luck today.
Yeah, and, thank you very
good
much.
Good luck with the system.
Good luck.
And we'll see you in the velodrome, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Interesting there. The difference between the two systems is very evident. The Jumbo Visma, the system that Jumbo Visma are using, no counterweight, it's easy to miss it. It's very slick.
Yeah, absolutely. When you have a first glance at the bikes, I was looking for it and I saw, oh yeah, there's one bike with it. And there was actually, I think there was three riders riding it. And there's actually one bike I didn't spot because it's so much slimmer. It's so much more sort of integrated. And the fact that, like you were saying, you can have as many inflations or deflations as you like means that it's so much more versatile. You know, it's definitely got uses in other
disciplines. And the system, I mean, they are radically different. You know, we learned that the Scope Atmos has almost, it's like a tyre within a tyre.
Yeah.
Whereas
that's what really surprised me. That's what really, really surprised me, actually. And also learning that those two systems had such different tyre setups, that the tyre within the tyre of the Scope Atmos and that the Gravocaps was basically just a tubeless tyre. So, yeah, I think that those systems will, well, obviously we'll see how they really fared today. And I think that those systems will probably become more prevalent as there are more of them and potentially as the price comes down as well.
Oh, as Wout van Aert attacks from the chasing group. Closely followed by Philipsen.
Really building in the velodrome here. It's absolutely packed in here, and it's a beautiful sunny day as well.
Lizzie, while we were there, did we notice any other stuff? I mean,
I
noticed.
Thing. It wasn't just all about tyre pressure systems.
Not at all. I mean, one of the things I noticed was not something new, but rather the absence of something.
Yeah.
Suspension systems almost totally absent today.
Absolutely. I think of Roubaix in the past. Maybe sort of 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, there were so many different bikes out there.
The Pinarello had one,
yeah. So many bikes that were incorporating these suspension systems in different ways. And now I would say Trek Segafredo is the team that has such noticeably different bikes. They ride the Roubaix. I actually spoke to the women's team mechanic, Mike Jenner, and I also spoke to Elisa Longo-Borghini about this bike. So we'll quickly cross over to those two. Mike Jenner, mechanic of Trek Segafredo. I think I'm right in saying that Trek Segafredo is the only team with a different bike.
I believe that's correct. I've had a look round and
yeah,
I don't
sweep.
See many different. So it's been a busy month building all the new bikes. So yeah, for sure we're ready and we're doing something a little bit different for everyone.
I mean, this bike has worked pretty well for you so far. 100% record.
Yeah, no pressure.
Is the secret the bike or the riders?
The riders have got to be in the right frame of mind. Their engines have got to be ready, but the bike will help. The changes that we've made, so 30mm tyres, slightly different wheel set, for sure a better geometry frame than our normal road frame. It's designed to, you know, deliver them over the cobbles in the best way possible. With Lisa Klein, we've decided to run a Madone rather than a Demane, just because primarily her work will be the first part of the race.
And that's all small and smooth tarmac.
Small smooth tarmac. The Madone offers us a massive aerodynamic advantage, which will then deliver the girls into the first sector of cobbles.
And what is different about this bike, the Trek Demane?
So with the Demane, we have an isospeed system, which basically decouples the seat post from the frame. And that allows the guys to have a little bit more flex, a little bit more comfort, which then hopefully gives them, protects their energy and keeps them going for a little bit longer.
And I think one of the important things is the single speed chainring at the front. And you've got, you know, a chain catcher that is going to prevent it coming off either side, because that is a massive risk on the cobbles when it's under such stress on the cobbles, isn't it?
Oh yeah, massive. We really think double ring is not the way to go on this race. It has to be single ring, but we want to try and protect the riders as much as we can. So running the chain guide on it just gives us a little bit more security. But the formula we've tried for a long time on the men's team before the women's had an actual Roubaix race, so we've brought that education and knowledge into the women's team, and so far it seems to work. And we did a recon on Wednesday, everyone rode it, everyone loved it, no changes, so this is positive for me.
And what size chainrings do you run on the front?
Everyone's 52.
52, is that enough? I'm in headwind today, so no problem, but Deignan and Longoborghini both won on a 52?
Everyone on 52. And it's their normal ring as well, so there's no real need to actually change that.
Yeah.
And having the 10-33 ratio on the back is enough just to give us for most sectors. The race is flat. It's really, you know, being in the right place at the right time.
And tell us about your tyres and tyre pressure setup. What size tyres have you got and what tyre pressures are you running on an average? I know the girls are all different weights, so there will be all be running slightly different.
You won't get any tyre pressures off us until after the race. This is top secret.
But this won't go out for a week or so.
Okay. So Longoborghini 3.1 and 3.3. On a 30mm tyre, we have a gravel wheel setup on it, which allows us to have a better... like aerodynamic with the tyre, with the tubeless tyre.
Well, you guys have an unbroken record, and you are also the only team with a different bike for today. So is the secret the bike? Is it Ina, the director, or is it the riders and the tactics?
I think it's all the three together, because Ina is always a smart sport director. We have the best bike for the cobbles, and also, I mean, a strong team. Yeah.
And, of course, you're coming back from that illness. Actually, after your performance in Flanders and a week to hopefully absorb that fitness, you might find that you're in some of the best form that you've been this spring.
Well, COVID is a very strange illness. I know you know. And so far, I still don't feel myself, to be honest. I still have some problems sometimes in recovery, and I really suffer the change of rhythm, especially when it comes to like very short and intense efforts. So I'm in an okay shape, but I still struggle in some points, and I think it's normal. And first of all, I just concentrate to be back to my normal Elisa, and then I will work more on intensity and stuff like that. So far, I'm here racing because I love racing, and I want to be here.
Yeah, it was a good surprise to see you back racing so soon, and I hope that your health is back to 100% very soon.
Yeah, in Italy, we have, before getting back to racing, we have to go to do some checkups. We have to do heart checkups, lung checkups, and a complete physical examination. So everything was all right. All the tests were fine. So my body is okay. Just needs time, you know. It's nice to give some time to your body also.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
One of the great things about coming to Roubaix, being at the start and being at the finish, is you get incredibly close to the bikes. Not just the race bikes, but the bikes that are on top of team cars. I mean, Lizzie was with the winner's bike yesterday.
Jumped the barriers and somehow managed to get into the winner's bike area.
So, of course, we just did a lot of general nosying around.
Yeah, we did. I think it was really interesting to see it. And, well, hopefully you'll enjoy hearing some of our musings from our wanderings around the paddock. We're outside the bus of Total Energies, and we've noticed that for Specialized, the teams that are running Specialized have got a mix of bike setups, some tarmacs and a lot of Roubaix's out there. We're just having a look at Sagan's bike.
Well, it's a significant bike, this, because this is his spare bike. This is Sagan's final Paris-Roubaix bike, you know, and that is, you know, a former winner of the race, you know,
a guy sort of changed the sport and, you know, paved the way for people like Van Aert and Van der Poel, and, you know, it's been a big presence. And, you know, it's a really, really significant setup. I wish we'd got another look at his actual race bike, which is probably over here.
And it, I mean, his bike is in second position on the car. So, I mean, it's still, they're still rating him for this race, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, even if perhaps we wouldn't say that he's
not
to be up there, but they're still putting his bike in the second position on the car.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, well, and Bösenhagen's bike is in prime position. I think that, I mean, both of them, it could be their final season as well. Bösenhagen also getting on. Just tell us what you're seeing on Sagan's bike, Lizzie, because we're looking right now.
Well, so the Roubaix, they pretty much look a bit like the tarmac, but they have this kind of extra sort of fatter bit at the back where the seats stay, where the seat post goes in. And I think there's a bit of a suspension in the back of there. Some pretty fat tyres on there. Specialised S-Works Mondos. They look like 32s, don't
that
they?
Look at the tread on that tyre. That is an interesting. So that tread, yeah. Look at that. That is quite similar to sort of the gravel, the sort of combination gravel tyres that,
yeah,
I would use. With normal, you know, very sort of slick tread down the middle with grip down the sides.
And I think yesterday at the women's race we were seeing, I actually saw some 28s, didn't we?
I saw quite a few 28s, particularly, I saw them mainly among the spare wheels on some teams, and I was surprised by. But again, like, you know, a 28 is not strictly a 28 depending on the rim, is it, these days?
No, but I think that the addition of the Arenberg in the men's race, or the omission of it in the women's race, I should say,
yeah, of course,
means that it really makes it a different race. And because it is such a difficult sector, I think that we're going to see most of the men's teams on 32s, because you basically have to have your bike ready for the worst section. And if you're not prepared for that section, you can lose the race there by waiting minutes, you know, 10 minutes sometimes even for a bike change. And also we noticed there's a bit of a nick in back wheel of Sagan's tyre.
I'm not mechanic, so...
Okay, but maybe you want to tell the mechanic that they want to change the tyre. I wouldn't ride it if it were me.
But he's working now, so I don't know if he...
I would let him know if I were you, if Sagan gets a rear puncture.
I'm watching a big group of lads, all in green casquettes. They're on the opposite side of the trench to me. Pretty sure they've come from Belgium. Beautifully choreographed dance. If you've seen the Beef Eaters Bend stuff on YouTube from the Tour de France, it's a little bit like that, but without a big inflatable dinosaur. I am having a great time. So it's just seen the first riders come through. A lot of the favourites. Here comes Niels Pollitt. Ganna has come through in a group with another Ineos rider. The group at the front, there was a Boer rider and UAE rider. And then behind them, there's a group of two Jumbo-Visma's. It looked like Laporte and Van Aert. So the favourites have already come to the front. This race, judging by what I've just seen, is already in bits. This is not the usual Arenberg scene where a big group comes in and then we see who survives at the end. There are groups all over the road. That must be the seventh group to go past. Tim de Klerk.
Stuyven.
ever seen an Arenberg like this one?
Incredible. It's all broken up. This is ones and twos. It's never like this. So it just shows that if the word is out, you've got to be in the front group today because no one's coming back. And it's great to see Wout there. The Belgian fans are probably going wild.
And Laporte was there with him as well, wasn't it?
Exactly. So, you know, maybe a little payback for Gent Wevelgem. So that's why you do things like that, because that's when you need a guy like that. Is that Christoph going by? There you go. Oh, my gosh.
Supe struggling. Flat tire, Supe.
Oh, man.
What has happened?
Someone dropped a hand grenade in the peloton. That's all I can say.
A lot of musings there. There's been many, many, many more musings across the weekend, which we will bring to you in a friend special featuring Lizzie's husband, Gabriel, featuring Lionel Burney, featuring a whole cast.
Featuring you and I, Tom,
featuring
of
you
course.
And I, featuring a whole cast of characters. So we'll bring you that sometime in the future. But, well, the race is about to finish, Lizzie, so we should probably wrap things up.
We should indeed. I mean, I don't know if you want for us to wait to tell you who's going to win the race.
We're right on time because it looks like Van der Poel has just hit the final sector of cobbles.
Entering final sector about 1.5 kilometres away. The helicopter is just overhead and it has been a thrilling weekend here at Paris-Roubaix. I couldn't have asked for a better weekend away. Thank you, Lionel Burney. Thank you, Tom Wally.
Listen to this as he comes through the Flamme Rouge. Just listen to this. There he goes, on the Côte d'Azur, taking that final bend for the penultimate time, and here he will take the bell. He's going to take the final bend now, solo. He's got Wout van Aert almost on his wheel.
Minus one lap.
Here we go. Matthew van der Poel wins.
The Cycling Podcast was created in 2013 by Richard Moore, Daniel Freeb and Lionel Burney.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.